Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value Surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Nah, everybody needs a little more love in this life of ours, especially with all the tragedy and all the stuff we're just talking about. Been a hard week, man. Been a hard week. Joining us right now, as we get back to the NFC Championship game and the future moving forward and the AFC Championship and an early look at the Super Bowl, is our guy Jay Gruden, of course, as you know, the longtime head coach here from 2014 through 2019 and former NFL offensive coordinator on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at tedbritt.com. Jay, how are you?
I'm doing good, Chris.
Appreciate you making some time for us, as always. Wow, a lot to unpack, obviously, from yesterday. Where did you first think they were in trouble? Was it the Barkley long touchdown run, or did you think because they got back in it with the Terry slant touchdown that maybe they had, you know, kind of steadied the ship and, all right, maybe it was still got a lot of game to go? Where did you first think, oh, boy, they're in trouble?
Yeah, I think they battled. I actually thought they were still in it, especially when they cut it to 14-12. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the kind of way they've been. They just have never said die. They've been able to come back from deficits before. It's just they could not stop them. And, you know, probably the second fumble, the kickoff return, I think it was the second or third fumble.
Yeah, McNichols, yeah.
McNichols.
Yep. And to your point, right, like I had literally just tweeted in Philadelphia, hey, you know, for all that's gone wrong in this first half, and they made a ton of mistakes, they were down 20 was it 20-12? Yeah, 20-12. And they had the ball with a 1:40 left to go in the first half. For all that's gone wrong, and a lot went wrong, and then no sooner do I say that, he fumbles, and then, of course, they punch it in after the whole Lattimore thing and whatever. And the game rapidly changes.
Yeah, not to mention they had the ball coming out at halftime, too.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was pretty much the backbreaker, so to speak. But, yeah, it was a tough day. You know, they you know, Philadelphia did what they do. They play very physical brand of football up front, and they handled the line of scrimmage, and Saquon and Jalen Hurts made their plays, and then they got A.J. Brown going. So it was a perfect recipe for Philadelphia and one that Washington couldn't stop yesterday.
Do you think they looked like a team that was not prepared physically or mentally, as opposed to what I think it was, and that's just Philadelphia's been together They don't have a ton of weaknesses. They have questions, but they don't have a ton of weaknesses, and they're strong on really in almost every phase of football.
Yeah, that, and I think Washington uncharacteristically played poorly, especially on defense, missing tackles. A lot of missed tackles, some penalties that cost them, the turnovers. They just, you know, they did what they didn't do in a seven-game winning streak to get to this point. You know, they had some ugly things come up in the game that meant a whole lot that they hadn't been doing in the last 6-7 weeks. So, unfortunately, you know, part of us, Philly took it to them, and the other part is Washington just didn't handle it very well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jay Gruden brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so on that first Saquon touchdown, you know, it looked like Bobby Wagner got shoved down. Dante Fowler didn't set the edge and fell down. Two missed tackles. I mean, is it just as simple as, hey, they also made it more difficult Philadelphia by getting Saquon out to the perimeter, which caused some of that? Or is there something else that kind of goes through your mind there?
It was a simple toss crack play that most every team runs. You know, they try to give a little misdirection on the jet sweep, then they pin the defensive end and try to pin the linebacker. Bobby Wagner had a great angle at it. He just took a terrible angle. He went too flat and ran into Dante Fowler, and they both fell down. And then the secondary. We mentioned the secondary before the game. They have to be great tacklers. They have to limit these. You know, if they get 15 yards, fine. You can't give up a 60-yarder.
Yep.
Lo and behold, they gave up a 60-yarder.
Yeah.
You know, the pursuit wasn't quite there. The angles weren't great. The tackling was poor. So, yeah, it was just a bad play to start the day for Washington.
Yeah, it's almost like they weren't listening when I said it. I know I said it a million times. I know you said it. You know, hey, 5-6 yards a pop, okay, that's not ideal, whatever. You'll take that every day and then some, as opposed to a 5 or 6 yard gain that's drawn up, or what should be a 5 or 6 yard gain turning into a 50 or 60 or even worse. And in this case, it was a 60. Jay Gruden with us, again, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. All right, on the first drive, before we go any further and before I forget, DQ goes for it twice on fourth down. They convert. Did you like the fact that they ultimately, 17 plays into that bad boy, settle for a field goal, or do you wish they would have gone, you know, for it again for a third time in that spot?
Yeah, that's out of my league, man. These guys went for it twice and got it. Those are two clutch plays to start the game. I was like, man, these guys are off their chain. And then they kicked a field goal, which was a little odd to me. I figured they'd just go ahead and go with it. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't fourth and long either. It was just fourth and two, I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was fourth and two, yeah.
Yeah, I thought for sure they were going to go for it. But, you know, I think, again, there's something to it. First drive of the game, it's loud. Just make sure you come away with points. You know, make your team feel good. To get shut out there and get nothing, I think, would have been a little bit more hurtful. Yeah. But they had them backed up. I thought they should have gone for it. But
I had it unofficially at 4th and 3. It might have been 4th and 2.5, whatever. I thought the same thing, Jay. Like, I can't kill DQ for going for it because you're kind of tempting fate. You really want to walk away with points. But – in that spot, first of all, I don't trust Zane Gonzalez, and I know he wasn't a problem yesterday, but I don't naturally. And everybody, a 34-yarder, he's got to make that. I was sitting next to Grant in the press box. He's like, wow, if he can't make a 34-yarder, that guy's miss extra points all the time, you know, all the time.
Yeah, he actually kicked the ball good yesterday. But
yeah.
You know, the first fourth down was 4th and 5.
Yes, it was at the 43. Yeah,
that's a chance for Tress Way to come in and bang him between the 5 and the 2 yard line, get him backed up.
Yep,
they went for that and got it, and then they got the 4th and 2 and got it. So yeah, and shoot, I don't know what sheet they're using as far as when to go for it, when not to go for it, but you got to give them credit because they were very successful all year long, and it got them to this point because of the decisions they made on fourth down.
And I'm with you. On 4th and 5 from the 43, I was surprised that just because of the distance, not because of where it is on the field. As you know, that's kind of no man's land, but you know, to your point, the distance at 4th and 5 makes it complicated. Yet they got it. Ertz beat Zach Bond, and Ertz had a great game, and we'll talk about all that. Wanted to ask you, while we're on fourth downs and you mentioned Tress Way, that fake punt, I mean, Tress almost overthrew it. Did you have anything? I don't remember Tress running Well, Tress ran a fake one time, and I want to say it was under you, but it may have been under Ron. I can't remember. Did you have something that Tress was like normally working on in terms of throwing the football? You know, as part of a fake punt. I don't remember one under you if it was.
Yeah,
you.
Against the
okay,
Giants,
that's what it was. Yes, yeah. Yes. Okay, that's what it was. Okay, so that was under you. Okay. Oh, that was right. That was week 3, 0-2, start in what, 16 or 17 or whatever it was.
Yeah, something like that. But it was he just threw like a fade or something like that, a dumb bar. You know, it was pretty sweet. That's we had a couple of those drawn up. We just never got them off the sheet. So, but Trent's a great athlete now. He's an incredible athlete. He's got a good arm. He throws it very well, so he's a good weapon to have. And that was a hell of a throw. I thought he overthrew it, too.
Yeah, how do you measure that when you're a head coach? Because if you think about it, it's 14-3, right? You go 3 and presumably out, right? Your offense is sort of now struggling. Crowd is loud. You're at your 30, Jay. If you don't make that, you know, theoretically, you could give the ball back to a Philadelphia offense, which carved you up like a hot knife through butter. Ball at the 30, or maybe slightly better than that, or whatever. How do you measure that, when to go for it?
A lot has to do with you have to be backed up in those situations where the team is really playing for a punt return, and they're running out of there. And they obviously had two seam balls running down the middle, and they had a good look at the fake that they wanted. And it's kind of hard because – you know, if it's 4th and 1, then teams are in safe on defense. So it's a bad time to run a fake. And if it's got to be, it's got to be 4th and a certain distance on a certain part of the field to get the look that you want. That's why fakes don't happen very often, because you hardly ever get the exact situation look that you're going to want to run a fake. But they got it, and it worked out perfectly. I just, you know, it's just hard to call those suckers because you never know what the look you're going
to
get.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jay Gruden with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. All right, so we know Saquon, awesome. Were you surprised based on how he looked with the banged-up knee in the NFC Divisional Playoff, how sharp Jalen Hurts was? I thought his best throw of the game was on 4th and 5 up the left sideline to A.J. Brown perfectly. I mean, you couldn't throw a ball better than that.
Yeah, no, he looked good. I think maybe this injury was a little overhyped or something like that, but he looked fine to me. Moving around the pocket, everything, he threw the ball good. And when he's throwing the ball good, they are a tough team to beat, because we all know about the running game, and they do have good receivers. You know, Devontae didn't do much. He just caught a couple jet sweeps, but A.J. Brown's a monster out there. You know, obviously Dallas Goedert can hurt you down the field too. So they get that part of the game going. It's a tough team to stop. It'd be a high-scoring game next week or 2 weeks.
What did you think of Jaden Daniels? Because we got into it, a bunch of media people and I, surprise, at halftime. And I said, you know, I said, he's been fine. And some others said he was great or very good. And I said, no. I said, he's been fine. What did you overall make of Jaden Daniels last night?
Yeah, I think he was good for that situation, this point in his career. I mean, I think he played good. He competed. He moved when he had to move. You know, he missed a couple throws, obviously. Cold day. The expectations for him are so high right now. Every play you expect him either to run for 30 or throw a bomb or something spectacular to happen. And I think once he gets a little bit more better help around him, like AK, the running game, or another good receiver, you're really going to see him flourish. But he's really doing a lot of it on his own. He's trying to do everything on his own. And, you know, obviously Terry had the big hit, but, you know, he's got to have some help around him. I think he just needs a little more time. But I think he played good. I'd say good, not great.
Okay. That's fair. In the 3 playoff games, I think he averaged 3.7 a carry, 135 yards, 35 carries, 6 of 48 yesterday, had the long of 19, obviously had the touchdown, the touchdown run, which was great. Do you think that let me ask it. As he evolved here over these 3 playoff games and obviously 17 regular season games, is he beating teams, or did he beat more teams in this playoff run with his arm or his legs, or is it the threat of his legs that then benefits the arm, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think all the above. I think that's why I was most impressed with him this year, because he has the ability to do both, and he always seemed to make the right decision when to utilize one or the other, either his legs or his arm. He could stay in the pocket and go through his progressions, which he does fine. Or he could burst out of the pocket and use his speed and athleticism. It just seemed like he never forced the issue one way or the other. He seemed to make the right decision all the time. Yesterday might have been a little different. There might have been some instances where he should have run or should have hung in there. But for the most part, his decision making is on point, and he's got a very bright future, no doubt about that. But yeah, he can hurt you both ways. That's what makes him so good.
On the Austin Eckler fumble, Jay, I mean, he told us after the game, obviously, that he should have stayed down, and it's hard to argue with that. But nobody saw Philadelphia with a clear recovery, at least on the television shots and the video board shots that I got at Lincoln Financial Field. Did you see anything that was conclusive on your side?
I couldn't see any. All I saw was Tyler come up with the ball.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I either thought it was going to be incomplete or right. It was going to be Washington's ball. I didn't think any way it was Philadelphia's ball. That was a weird call. They never even really showed the replay where I was.
Yep. Right? So as a head coach, and maybe there is an angle that we didn't get to see, and maybe up in the booth they have a different angle. As a head coach in that spot, I don't know what's being said on the headsets, but like every turnover is being replayed. Can you call a timeout to extend the window of review there? What can you do so that such a critical moment doesn't go against you when there doesn't seem to be clear evidence?
Yeah, there's nothing you can do, actually, because it is reviewed by upstairs. So that once its final decision is made, they already reviewed it and the call's made. So there's you're kind of – that's just what it is. I just don't understand that call at all. I'm actually see that replay. There's nothing you can do.
No, I don't think anybody understood it, quite honestly. All right, so the next one, which comes right after that, they get all the way down to the 1 yard line, and they continue to do the tush push, which we all know how effective it is. But Bobby Wagner said several times after the game, of course, that he thought they were lined up illegally. I mean, I've seen all sorts of shots. You went against it. You know how effective that is. What was your reading? And did you know that they could, after, I guess, several penalties, Luvu twice over the top, Jonathan Allen on a defensive offside, did you know that they could just award points for just because they felt like it?
I did not know that. That's the first I've ever heard of that rule. I don't know when that would ever come up. But, that was weird. You know, there's also some, you know, the Jonathan Allen offside, Jalen Hurts bobbed his head all the way down to the ground. That's illegal. You can't do that either. It's especially when you're in that situation, that formation, if the quarterback not bobs his head, he's gone. I mean, that's a false start by the offense. But, yeah, I've never heard of that rule. And it's a very difficult thing to stop, especially when your quarterback squats 650 pounds. You know, so it's damn near impossible.
Jay Gruden is with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. That's a good point. I didn't even think about the head nod and all that. When you look at ultimately how this game played out, does it matter to you that after that they scored that touchdown ultimately and then two more touchdowns and, hey, the final score not as indicative of much of the game? Or is it just, man, we got our ass kicked, and just we got a lot of work to do as every team does, and that's how you kind of process it?
Yeah, I think no matter how you look at it, it was an ass whooping. You know, it was obviously close for a while, but the turnovers, we all mentioned the penalties, and it was just an uncharacteristic game of the way Washington played, especially in the second half. You know, we mentioned the turnovers, the penalties, the fighting, all that stuff. It just didn't look like a Washington Commander coach team that we watched for 18, 19 games. You know, just I hate the way that it ended like that. You know, with Lattimore fighting and Luvu jumping over the pile six times in a row. Just it didn't look like a prepared team. But I know they were prepared and Coach Quinn did an outstanding job all season long, but I just hate the way it looked on the way out.
Yeah, no, I agree. You mentioned Lattimore. I forgot to ask about him. He gets torched on that 4th and 5 that I mentioned earlier. Great throw, great route, great catch, everything. Okay, fine, that's going to happen. What did you make out of where he took the personal foul? I thought he kind of instigated it by a shove that had really nothing to do with the play on, again, another tush push at the one against A.J. Brown, and then that led to the scuffle between the two and him losing his helmet, getting it ripped off. How did you process all that?
Yeah, just frustration, I think, all the way around with Marshawn. And then A.J. Brown, it was an unnecessary hit A.J. Brown had on Lattimore to start it. But, you know, they just been jawing all game long. Lattimore's got a history of that, obviously, with Mike Evans and some other guys throughout the league. So he just got to learn to contain himself because, you know, those penalties will kill you. You know, you just can't have those penalties, and ended up not hurting them because I think Philadelphia went for 2 and didn't
right.
It actually helped.
Right. It actually helped them. Yeah. That's exactly what I said. I said in a weird way it helped them. But, you know, a lot of fans are now, you know, and even some media are questioning, Do you go forward with Marshawn? And my answer to that is yes, of course you do, but just be prepared, a high wire act. And you had Josh Norman here, and I always thought Josh Norman was kind of a high wire act. Am I wrong on that?
They're very much like very emotional, competitive guys, and sometimes your competitive spirit can get the best of you. And hot times and critical times. So yeah, you just gotta try to control it. But you love the competitive spirit. They play their asses off. They compete. They tackle. They do everything you want. They just gotta contain themselves in some of those iffy situations.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we'll leave the Commanders and the Eagles there. I wanted to ask you about the AFC Championship. Another really just, I don't know, galling, kind of loss for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. We all know about Kansas City. What did you make out of that wild fourth down play where Josh is running for his life? He gets belted as he's throwing. Dawson Knox got to come up with that. I know it's not easy, but he got to come up with that. It's not Mark Andrews, but I mean, he's got to come up with that. Help your quarterback out, for God's sakes.
Yeah, it was a great call by Spags. I think he brought the corner pressure first time all game, of course. And Josh did an unbelievable job just getting that thing away. I think it was Kincaid.
Kincaid, not Dawson Knox.
He needed to come up with that, man. But it was a tough catch. He was running one way, had to stick his foot in the ground, come back to the ball. It was high in the air, it was kind of floating. It wasn't an easy catch. But, yeah, Dalton Kincaid has made tougher catches. But, damn, that's a tough way to lose.
Yeah. Early look at Super Bowl 59, Kansas City and Philadelphia rematch. Which way are you early leaning here?
I'm early leaning towards Kansas City still, but not very far of a lean there, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia's defense is playing pretty damn good, and Saquon, obviously, it's the difference between a couple years ago is the addition of Zach Bond and obviously Saquon Barkley, the two rookie corners, DeSheen and Quinyon Mitchell. I think Howie Roseman's done an unbelievable job of addressing some needs in the draft and free agency, so they're a much better football team than they were a couple years ago. But you still got to take down the king, and the king just does not lose in big games.
Yeah, I'm with you. Your thoughts there, pretty much. And Philadelphia really needs this bye. My God, are they banged up? They really need this bye. So it's, or I should say, extra week of preparation. All right, before we let you get out of here, the Dallas Cowboys made an interesting hire at head coach, Jay. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I didn't even know he was on staff. I don't remember the last time he's called a play. Was it with the Jets? I can't remember. Yeah, it was interesting. You know, I thought they might go Deion Sanders or somebody a little more Cowboy related, but you know, Jerry Jones has his way of doing things, and I don't understand it, where these guys are getting hired and interviewed and all that stuff. But NFL's a weird league. I'll tell you that right now, Chris.
It is a weird league. There's no doubt about that. I knew of his dad. I mean, obviously he's bounced around Brian Schottenheimer. Jerry is known for not wanting to spend a lot of money on coaches. So ultimately maybe that's it, as opposed to the kind of money and resources that it would have taken. Not to mention control and power. You don't have to give up control and power to Schottenheimer. He would, to some degree, to Deion or somebody with a big time profile.
Yeah, he's got to give it up eventually. He's got to let his people that he hires do the job.
Yeah.
Right? He's got a general manager. He's got to let them do the job. He's got a director of college scouting and pro personnel. He's got a head coach. He's got an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. You know, some of the best jobs you do is hiring people, letting them do the job for you.
So yeah.
Eventually he's got to do that, I think.
Last one for you, and then we'll spring you loose. I don't know if you read it, but over the weekend there was an ESPN Dan Snyder piece. He's devastated. He's pissed off. He's this, he's that. You worked for the man for 5+ years. I know that wasn't easy. I don't know if you saw the article. If so, like the man that you knew, like, could you see that that he's upset that this happened under Josh Harris's watch as opposed to his?
I would imagine 100% yes. Yes. The one thing he was a fanboy of the team. He was a fan before he bought it. He was a fan. He really wanted it to do well. He just didn't know how to do it and had to sell it. And now they're doing well. I'm sure he's miserable. That's too bad.
That was a lot of fun, though.
So sad. So sad. Yeah, still devastated for old Dan. $8 billion on his little boat. God.
I love you, Jay. I love you. Thank you, as always. Appreciate you.
You got it. Thanks, Chris.
I'll talk to you next week. That is Jay Gruden on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax F-150 headquarters. Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. I needed that laugh. We got to make sure our pal Lou DiPietro gets that because, boy, was that funny. I hope I didn't totally smash it by laughing. But it was so freaking funny that I couldn't stop laughing.
It'll be on the highlights page in about 5 minutes.
Attaboy, Max. Thank you. All right, back to your calls as soon as we can on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, thanks again to Jay Gruden, who was great, not only on his analysis of the game and an early Super Bowl lean, but also there at the end about his former boss, Dan Snyder. I'm sure that made you guys laugh, as it did me and Max. Let's get a quick call in here before the bottom of the hour, and then we'll take one or two more on the other side and wrap up the show on this Monday. I think the DOC scheduled to be here tomorrow, so we will have plenty more post-mortem. Craig Hoffman coming up next. First, we say hello to Pete in Wilmington on the Odyssey app. What up, Pete? How are you?
I'm doing great. Great show. I want to remind everybody that you know how they do the NFL film review every year, the 2024 season of the Commanders?
Yep.
When you watch that in 2 or 3 months, your hair is going to stand up on the back of your neck, because this season was phenomenal. I have not had so much enjoyment, my family, my friends, as a Commander fan in 33 years. Now, of course, the game was miserable yesterday, but what do you expect? You can't win them all, but it was a great season. Mm-hmm. And the thing that made me mad in that game more than anything else was when the defensive tackle, Carter, poked Biotis right in
the eye. That was the other one that I keep forgetting to mention. I'm so glad you brought that up. I'm so glad. I totally forgot about that. Damn it. I'm so disappointed in myself because I saw that. I was like, whoa. Thank you for bringing it up.
The ref was standing there. Yep. I watched it 5 times this morning.
Yep.
And it was just on purpose. And he laughed about it. And it just, that was the worst thing.
I still don't understand, and just indulge me for a minute here, Pete. I still don't understand what this replay assist is for. It should be to correct egregiously missed or wrong calls. It should be. It's never about that. It's, oh, hey, like we can change a procedure penalty or a clock malfunction. Oh, no, wait, we can't. We can't fix a clock malfunction. No. We can't do that. Oh, we can't fix a spot of the ball. Nope. We can't do that. No. Wait. It's about defense. Nope. We can't correct that. It's about effacement. Nope. We can't correct that. Well, what the bleep is it for?
Amen. One more quick thing. You know, the whole, I lost my train of thought. How about that? I'm losing my mind at my old age. I can't think of it. I'm sorry. Great show.
Thank you, Pete. As always, get back to me. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you,
Pete. Appreciate you as always. All right. I mean, I'm glad Pete brought that up because I knew there was one thing I was forgetting. I couldn't think of it. I mean, Biotis gets just punched in the face.
His eye gets poked.
Or in the high chest, you know, neck area, right?
There was a lot of officiating calls last night that made me stand up and go, what?
Well, if you think about it, right, that, along with the Biotis recovery and the not clear, as we were just talking about, the fiasco at the goal line with the, we're going to award extra points, whatever. Some people are upset about the Marshawn Lattimore, A.J. Brown thing. I was not. I think Marshawn Lattimore was clearly the agitator in that case. Some people are upset about the Mikey Sin were still hit on the personal foul right around the 10-12-yard line against Saquon Barkley. You know, they missed a defensive pass interference, quite honestly, on Marshawn Lattimore. He bear hugged. And then one play later, they got him for DPI again. Officials make mistakes, just like football players, just like coaches. Got it. The difference is, we have a system that can clearly correct obvious wrongs. It's okay to make a mistake. Clearly correct what is obviously and completely and transparently wrong. And they never do. Time for a trending alert. Final one of the day. We'll come on back after that, wrap up the show. All right, before we get to those final phone calls, Magic Johnson, one of the, of course, partners of Josh Harris and the Washington Commanders, just tweeting out a couple of moments ago, I want to express my gratitude to Coach Dan Quinn and the entire Commanders coaching staff for your exceptional work in developing our players and crafting winning offensive and defensive schemes every week. Your efforts were key to reaching the NFC Championship game. Meanwhile, Sam Cosmi says to reporters in Ashburn on locker cleanout day that he's going to have surgery for his knee. Zach Ertz, according to Nikki Javala and video posted by, again, reporters, says he still doesn't know what the future holds. He wants to play football next year, and he wants to make it clear that he is not retiring. Of course, Zach Ertz with a monster day yesterday for the Commanders in the loss in the NFC Championship game against his former team, the Philadelphia Eagles. Ertz had 16 targets, 11 catches, 104 yards, and a long of 21, including a fourth down catch as well. Meanwhile, the Wizards are in Dallas tonight, 8:15, the coverage for Dave Johnson and company right here on the Team 980. That's after talking Terps from 7-8 following Craig Hoffman, and that's what's trending. All right, good to have you with us as we wrap up shop here, final 18 minutes or so of the radio program. Again, Craig Hoffman coming up at 4 o'clock, so make sure you stay tuned. Before we get to clean up on aisle 3, let's do this. Let's wrap up on the phones with Lap in D.C., and then we'll get to Jumbo in a sec. What's up, Lap? How are you?
Lap, not again.
Lap.
Don't do it again. Come on, Lap.
Oh, Lap. All right, we'll put Lap on hold. Maybe we'll give him a third shot. I don't know. Jumbo on the Eastern Shore. What up, Jumbo? How are you?
Hey, Chris. It's been a while since we talked. I hate to talk to you on this, obviously, a bad day for everybody. But I'm not showing Lattimore. Look, he might be all world. But for some reasons, even though I know he was hurt, we got to go through all that, say all that, he seems to be a disruptor. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure he's a good fit because they got a lot of good level-headed players, and he's always disrupted. And as far as them calls, they weren't going to win that game. But this is why people always think football's crooked, because when that fumble, and I ain't saying the game was, but when they fumbled that ball, it didn't even show a replay. That told me right there that that kind of stuff is why people think that kind of stuff. And as far as – I don't know how they could have called a penalty on Jalen Carter. I mean, he done it right in front of a referee. And I don't know, just little things like that is why people always think now, especially with all the betting going on, that stuff like that is already predetermined. But I don't think it was crooked and they weren't going to win, but it will make you think that way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, here's the problem, Jumbo. How do we fix it, right? And again, the league has this replay review assist thing, whatever, and yet they refuse to use it. Now, maybe they'll expand it this offseason. I don't know. I'm really fascinated, really curious by that. I know there's no perfect system. I know you don't want to extend games. I know there's TV windows. I know. Get it right. Please get it right. Please get it right. Fix the obvious. Fix the clearly wrong. Nobody can see everything. I can't see everything. You can't see everything. Nobody can see. The officials can't see everything. Fine. Fix the obvious that is so clearly and blatantly wrong. And they just simply refuse to do it. They just simply refuse to do it. Thank you, Jumbo. Appreciate you. You said he's there again, Max? All right. Let's try for a third time now. Lap in D.C. Lap!
Hey, what's up, Rooster? How's it going,
what's
bro?
What's going on, Lap?
Hey, man, it was a tough one, man. I'm glad of the way that they competed and fought, man. You know, I think we had to see how it feels to play against a juggernaut, man. This team been tough and competitive for the last 3 years, man, and we still got some ways to go. I would like to see these off-season moves that we can maybe address the offensive line, definitely the defense as a whole, especially the secondary, and we can get some consistent receivers and the tight ends, man. We need a younger tight end, explosive tight ends. We used to have a Vernon Davis, a Jordan Reed, a Fred Davis, you know, a Chris Cooley in his prime. Even though Zach Ertz is good, you know, he's still older.
I mean, John, don't forget, John Bates, people are going to laugh about this, but John Bates is a free agent as well, you know, and he serves like a vital Bates. Blocking role. And, of course, he's not as good offensively in terms of pass catching as he could be, but they did target him a little bit more as this season went along. He's a free agent. Now, I would expect him to come back, but he is a free agent along with Ertz, who, again, says he wants to play and had arguably one of his best games yesterday. Granted, because, as we had talked about, I think, Philadelphia was going to give up some stuff in the middle of the field to, you know, again, guys that can't really run a lot after the catch and be explosive and take the lid off. So I thought Ertz would have a big game, and that he did. But it didn't feel like he was a major factor, even though he was a major factor in terms of targets, catches, yards, all of that stuff. But bottom line, I fully expect them to draft a tight end kind of early-ish in the draft. I don't know if it'll be – I don't think it'll be the first round, but I can't rule it out. I think in the top three rounds, they should draft a tight end. Yes, I know they spent the second-round pick on Sinnott last year. I got it. I understand that. To me, the tight end is – and especially a really good pass-catching tight end is the most friendly tool you can have for a quarterback without blowing the lid off the salary cap or without it necessarily investing a super-duper high pick. Now, they're not going to have that. They're going to have the 29th pick. But if at 29, if they find a tight end that they like, the kid from Penn State, if he's coming out, I don't even know if he's coming out, do it. Do it, because that's going to help Jaden Daniels a lot. It's going to help the offense a lot. I think we lost Lap. Everybody's just amazed at my brilliant analysis. That's what they're amazed at. Coming up, more on of the month. Dum-dum of the day. Before we get there, a little cleanup on aisle three action, why don't we? All right, we mentioned the Wizards are in Dallas tonight to take on the Mavericks right here on the radio station starting at 8:15, Dave Johnson and company. But really the big story out of Dallas is the Cowboys, who hired Brian Schottenheimer. Talk about your Friday news dumps, baby. Oh, yeah.
Jerry loves him.
Jerry introduced him today. Jerry had a press conference today.
Loves those as well.
Among the quotes, quote, "If you really knew my score sheet, you would see I've taken more risk in the last 5 years than the rest of my life put together." Okay. What risk is that, Jer? What risk is that? Second, if you don't think I can operate outside of my comfort zone, and this is about hiring Brian Schottenheimer. If you don't think I can operate outside of my comfort zone, you are so wrong. This, meaning hiring Schottenheimer, is as big of a risk as you can take. No head coaching experience. That is fair. It is a big risk. And he doesn't have head coaching experience. Maybe Jerry stumbled upon the next great head coach here, right? The next, I mean, everybody thinks of Brian Schottenheimer as the next Sean McVay, right? The next Kyle Shanahan.
I say, if he ends up like that, I got a bunch of bets that I'm going to have to pay off that I really don't want to.
I mean, it is a risk. Jerry would have been better off saying, hey, listen, not over the last 5 years I've taken a bunch of risks. I'm taking a huge risk here, guys. But I've done my homework. You don't know what I know. I've been in meetings. I've been behind the hallowed halls. You people think you know. I know. What does it matter to Jerry if it's wrong in 2 years of fire Brian Schottenheimer and everybody will think he was a jackass for hiring him?
Jerry's been surprisingly loyal to his head coaches the past few years. Yeah, so.
Part of it is because they work up pretty cheap.
Correct.
And as we mentioned with Jay, I think we mentioned it with Jay. Yeah, when we were talking about Dion. You don't have to, I mean, Brian Schottenheimer is not getting control of that roster.
No power.
If you hired Ben Johnson or Bill Belichick, no, there's no chance they're going there without control over the roster. No chance. You know? No chance. All right, so I wanted to make mention of that. Maybe we'll get some of that audio tomorrow. Real quickly here, before we run out of time, before we take our final break of the show, the Ravens, their season ended a week ago, and they should have probably beaten the Buffalo Bills. They're extending finalizing a contract extension for offensive coordinator Todd Monken to remain with the Baltimore Ravens. And certainly he and Lamar have had success. I was having this conversation with Grant on the way back from Philadelphia. Both of us feel Josh Allen should be the MVP. I understand statistically Lamar Jackson had an unbelievable year, great year, this, that, the other thing. I got it. Here's just real quickly. I mean, Monken has helped him develop, and Lamar, to his credit, has developed as a pocket passer, a much better pocket passer over the last 2 years than he was earlier in his career. There's no denying that. I'm happy for Monken, whatever. I'm happy for Lamar. Got nothing against them, even though people think I have something against him. Here's the deal. Josh Allen lost his two top receivers and had a bunch of 9-to-5 ham and eggers surrounding him. Quite honestly, including Curtis Samuel. I got it. It's not all Josh Allen. When we're talking about valuable people, value to a team, it's never, ever, ever just about statistics. Unless you don't know what you're voting for. I'll just leave it at that. Coming up, dum-dum of the day. Wait till you hear how special this trooper was. He was stormtrooping and doing all sorts of other bad things, too, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, wrapping up the show here. It is time for Dum Dum of the Day. I jumped the shark there a little bit. So did, well, New York State Trooper Thomas Massia. Last October, on the Southern State Parkway on Long Island, a road that I've been on a number of times, He staged his own shooting. So what happened was he claimed he was shot wounded by a driver. It started a criminal probe because, you know, trooper, right? And now, after an investigation, they found that he did it himself. He shot himself at a different location than the actual reported scene. He faces charges including tampering with evidence, a felony, as well as falsely reporting an incident and official misconduct. But worse, his mom and dad also got arrested and turned themselves in today, according to the New York Post, in federal court. Why? Well, because they helped him. They helped him. The defendant claimed he was shot by masked men. He claimed that he started a massive law enforcement manhunt for people driving a Dodge Charger with New Jersey temporary plates. They tried to find the Dodge. Little did they know they weren't looking for the shootings, but a figment of the defendant's imagination. He apparently, after the initial incident, dropped a handful of .22 caliber shell casings all over the highway in an attempt to stage the shooting, drove off out of the scene to Hempstead Lake Park, which is a, you know, park on Long Island, and shot himself in the leg with a .22 caliber rifle. Yep. That qualifies. I mean, come on, man. Come on, man. Gotta be smarter than the average bear or trooper. Woo! All right, Craig Hoffman up next. Great job out of Max. Appreciate him being with us. Max, you're back with us on Wednesday, right? Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, you will hear from me Wednesday and Friday.
Wednesday and Friday. Good luck with that. I have no idea who's here tomorrow. I haven't even checked. I got to make it through today, and we will do so. Craig Hoffman up next. Have a great afternoon, everybody.